A large newspaper press is capable of turning out thousands of newspapers in an hour. But without power, it is totally useless. Turn the power on, and it is alive with action. Well, God's people have gifts and abilities, making us capable to accomplish many things. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, we shall accomplish very little for the Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When David said of his Lord, "Thou anointest my head with oil," doubtless he was thinking of the many times Jehovah had ministered to him when he was tired in body and distressed in soul. But probably there is a greater meaning. Oil in the Scriptures symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit's power, the believer's service for God is ineffectual. David had found this to be the sad truth in his own life. He sensed deeply his own lack of power. In Psalm 6, verse 2, he prayed, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." In the midst of his own weakness and frailty, David found God's mighty power to be sufficient. In Psalm 59, verse 16, he says, "But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy." And in Psalm 62, verse 11, he further says, "Power belongeth unto God." It is this same truth we need to realize so greatly in our day. Power belongeth unto God. Some churches are organized with well-planned and interesting programs. The music is of the finest. The sermons are biblical. But why are there not more lost souls repenting and crying out to God? People are joining the church, but so often joining church is considered to be on about the same plane as joining a lodge or a club. There is really no noticeable line of demarcation between the world and the church. We readily observe that most of our church people do the same things the unchurched do. Multitudes outside the church lie, cheat, drink cocktails, get divorces, and live immorally. But very often, church members do the same things. There appears to be little transformation of life and character. Consequently, the church is devoid of Holy Spirit power to win the lost to Christ. In the apostolic days, when one professed to be a follower of the Lord, it meant forsaking all. Oftentimes, such complete surrender resulted in ostracism from the fellowship of family and friends. Sometimes, it even resulted in martyrdom. In our day, however, it is quite popular in many places for one to make a profession of faith in Christ and join the church. It gives position and prestige. It may even help one's business, opening the way for new customers. But is this what God intended for His church? If we are to make an imprint in a world of sin with the gospel of Christ, like the shepherd's overflowing cup of oil, our lives must be under the control of the Holy Spirit. It is well to note that even the Lord Jesus performed His mighty works in the strength and energy of the Holy Spirit. Recall how He began His ministry with the anointing of the Spirit? In Luke 4, verse 18, we have the words of our Savior concerning Himself, which were read in the synagogue at Nazareth on the Sabbath day. This was a prophecy given by Isaiah many years before. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." It is difficult for us to understand the relationship of the Son of God with the Holy Spirit in doing the work of the Father. One thing is obvious, however, from the verse I just quoted. The Lord Jesus was definitely anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry on His ministry. In fact, He considered the Holy Spirit's work so sacred and important in His life that when he was accused by the Pharisees of healing in the power of the devil, he declared such action to be unpardonable. He said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." If the Lord Jesus gave such emphasis to the importance and recognition of the Holy Spirit's place in his ministry, certainly we, who are his followers, should give the Spirit the same place in ours. The Bible makes it clear that without the fullness of God's power through the Spirit, believers accomplish little for the Lord. It is for this reason that God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. We need not beg or plead for the fullness of the Spirit. Simply meet the requirements, and the Spirit's fullness and power will be known. And what are the requirements? Just two. The first, remove every obstacle and hindrance from the life. And then second, receive the glorious promise by faith. When one is filled with the Holy Spirit, the entire personality is affected. The fruit spoken of in Galatians 5:22 and 23 becomes obvious, not only to oneself but to others. We shall see love that knows no bounds, joy that is unsurpassable, peace that cannot be disturbed, long-suffering that can suffer bitterness and criticism, gentleness that can sympathize with others, goodness evidenced in clean living, meekness that can toil on without praise, temperance that knows how far to go and when and where to stop. Greatest of all is the power for service. Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." We are not filled merely to be happy, but to be useful. God never wastes or squanders his power. The Spirit-filled man will be busy for God, seeking to lead lost souls to Christ. Our churches need to sense the need of the Holy Spirit power. Some do, but many do not. We have all the machinery, but we need the power. What a potential we have in God's power. Most of us ignore it and fail to use it. God can pack an oak tree into an acorn. He can pack explosive power into an atom. But his greatest power is in the gospel. God can take a worthless derelict and transform him into a mighty evangel for the Lord. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. But to see this power unleashed, it must be proclaimed through Spirit-filled men and women. There is nothing more pathetic than to see weak Christians trying to preach the living truth to dead sinners. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You can say with David, "Thou anointest my head with oil." But are you filled with the Spirit? Is your life one of fruitfulness and usefulness for Christ? If not, I urge you to surrender all to Jesus now. You know what's hindering God's power in your life, and so does he. Get things straightened out and let him fill you to overflowing, that you might be a usable saint for the Lord. And if it should be that you've never taken Jesus into your life, he is saying to you, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." God is ready to move into your life and change your life. I hope you'll let him do it right now as we pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power we have through the Holy Spirit. He can break stony hearts. He can take otherwise useless men and women and make them mighty evangelists. I pray that you will move into our lives today, Father, in a very special way. If there are things we should talk to you about, may we do it right now, that we shall be what you want us to be. I pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.